أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق وأعز المرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين، سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. قال الله الحكيم في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين، ولا يتمنونه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم، والله عليم بالظالمين. قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم، ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Dear mu'mineen and mu'minat, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Continuing on the tafsir of the ayat from Surah Al-Jumu'ah that was revealed in Medina, and it was revealed later on when many of the Islamic concepts were already introduced to the Muslims, yet there were the Jews who were neighboring them and believed that they were favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they believed that they were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they believed that they were in fact awliya'ulillah. They believed they were mukhlas and mukhlas. Awliya'ulillah, lam al-takhsis we call it, for specification. Specifically, they were sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed that they were. And they also believed that it was exclusive to them. Min dunin nas. Besides other people. It was an exclusive club. It was only them and nobody else. In fact, that concept was introduced in other ayat of the Holy Quran, that they thought they were the only ones who would enter paradise. وَقَالُوا لَيَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ. They said, no one will enter paradise unless they are Jews. Or others said, unless they are Christians. So that exclusivity, أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِن دُونِ النَّاسِ. In that context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ. Give us our proof. Here he tells them what the proof is meant to be. إِن كُنْتُمْ. If you were أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ. So what is the burhan? What is the proof? فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And that wishing for death, I explained, it's wishing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that one would give up life and commit suicide, wal'ayadu billah, none of that. It is to wish for the meeting of the Lord. There's another level that I will introduce, inshallah, in a minute, of that فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ. The same level of وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاتِ. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will find them the most greedy for life. أحرص الناس على حياة. The most greedy when it comes to their life and this livelihood. If we look at it beyond just the physical living versus dead, the hirs for life is not just for living, breathing in this world. It's for breathing and enjoying everything else that's in this world. Basically breathing diamonds, breathing gold, breathing, not just the breathing of the air, if we think of it in this way. And that goes very well with أحرص الناس على حياة. And تمنوا الموت is not necessarily that you as I said, that you want to kill yourself or something. It is to wish to meet your Lord, therefore you prefer your akhirah over your dunya, therefore you prefer the things that have to do with akhirah over the things that have to do with dunya. And that explains the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, Allahumma salam. When he says, mutu qabla an tamutu, die before your death. Give up this life and its attachments, وَزُخْرُفِهَا وَزِبْرِجَهَا, that the prophets we read in Dua al-Nudba, they gave it up. They gave up all the ornaments and the gold and all the silk of this world. When they gave it up, فَشَرَطُوا لَكَ ذَلِكَ, and they were willing to do that and to stay on that covenant firm with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَلِمْتَ مِنْهُمُ الْوَفَاءَ بِهِ, and you knew that they will be dutiful and fulfill their duty in that, فَقَبِلْتَهُمْ وَقَرَّبْتَهُمْ, you accepted them and you draw them near you. So that قُرْبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ was a condition, or conditional to what? To detachment from dunya. فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, in other words, detach from this dunya. Why are you so attached to it? Why do you want every gold and silver that's available to you in it, and diamond that's available to you in it? Why are you so attached to it, or why has it controlled you so much? Yet you say, I am a friend of God and I have a good place in paradise. If that is where you're aiming for, and if you have guaranteed that, you should give up this one. But you will find that وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, when He introduces such people with such mentality and such attitude to life, He is not just introducing them and the people labeled with that particular label, Jew or Christian or whatever. It is an ideology. That ideology is wrong. And that for anyone to have that kind of a claim that I have an exclusive club with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have to have the proof. فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And that applies to anybody. Today, we look at ourselves. If any of us have such a claim that we are أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ, then how are we when it comes to that test? Have we detached, or are we fully attached to dunya? This is a test that we have to put for ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly in the Holy Quran says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا, all the people of the book, all the Jews. It is not simply to talk to those people. It is also to address us, that we could be like them. And I've given an example of the ayah from the Holy Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّا, if we had written upon the Muslims here to kill themselves like we did upon the Jews. They were ordered at one point to kill themselves, not kill no one to kill himself personally, but one kills the other. That's what we are told in the tafasir. They were ordered to do that. Some of them did it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if we had ordered the people around the Prophet to do that, مَا فَعَلُوهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ, very few would do that. Such a test was difficult on Bani Israel and is difficult for us. Just because we are constantly saying Bani Israel did this, did that in the Quran, doesn't mean that we wouldn't do this and that. What is mentioned in the Holy Quran about them, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, don't start purifying in the sense that I am clean. This tazkiyah not purifying in terms of real purification, in terms of claiming the purification. Don't start claiming that I am pure. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not start clearing your name that I am good, we are good, we are the Muslims now. Huh? That's how they did it. They thought they were the chosen ones. Now some of us think we are the chosen one. And there is no such a thing. It is determined by من آمن بالله وعمل صالحا. Or the ihsan factor. Let us think of how much ihsan we do. How much amal salih we do, how much good deeds and ihsan we do, that gives us a status, not the name, not the label. Just because I am a Shia now, and I'm taking it one step further, just because I think I am a Shia, doesn't mean that I have this exclusive club. It is based on my actions. If I follow Amir al-Mu'mineen and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the Prophet and his progeny, if I'm following them, I am. If I'm not, I am not a Shia. وَشِيَعَتُكَ عَلَى مَنَابِرَ بِالنُّورِ. The Prophet says to Amir al-Mu'mineen that your Shia are on these high elevations of light. Which Shia? The ones that are following. The ones that are following in every detail. Then we can be happy and pleased, but never be the kind of arrogant. There's a limit. We can be happy that alhamdulillah we are following Ahlul Bayt, and we are, if we are, inshallah, but never get to a position where we are arrogant with it or think we have an exclusive club. There is no such a thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns that mentality in the Holy Quran, with whether it be the Jews or the Christians or anybody else, including us. And then the next ayah gives a general idea. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about them and us and anyone else, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفَرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. The death that you run away from, that you flee from, the death that you're constantly avoiding, the concept you're avoiding. In some cultures, basically when they want to speak about cancer, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this culture, they won't even name it. They say that disease. Because it's almost synonymous with death. They don't want to even mention it, that disease. Or the one that is far from us. لَبْعِيدْ مِنْ هُونَ, they say. The one that's far from here, far from us. Death is far from us. It is so far in the way we live our lives, many of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify us from such a state of ignorance. Many of us, we do not even think that death could come to me. Anybody but me. And that is تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ. That is opposite to مُوتُوا قَبْلَ أَن تَمُوتُوا. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Amir al-Mu'mineen has a statement. I will finish with this statement. صلوات الله وسلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين. He says, and I've mentioned this statement in the translation and reuse of it by a philosopher, a French philosopher, that does not say who it is from or borrowed from or translated from, when he says one often meets his destiny on a path he takes to avoid it. أمير المؤمنين says تذل الأمور للمقادير حتى يكون الحتف في التدبير. Things are so humble and so weak against the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one ends up dying, meeting his destiny with his own planning, تدبير, He's planning to avoid. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ. You're running away from it. By running away from it, you're meeting it. فَإِنَّهُ مُلْهَقِيكُمْ. You take a path. It's a very beautiful analogy in the ayah. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ. It's like you're running away from somebody. And you end up meeting him on the path you take to run away from him. You think, okay, he's going to come from the main door of the masjid. He's coming from this door, so I'm going to leave from the back door. And then as you run away on the back door, you open the back door and he's right in front of you. فَإِنَّهُمْ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Meeting you. He'll meet you. This is the taswir. This is the image that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. To bring that concept closer. That you run away as far as you want, it'll meet you. فَإِنَّهُمْ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ. Then he will tell you, you did so and so. He will tell you what you did, not what you claimed. He will tell you, بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. He will inform you what you used to do, not what you used to claim you are. That I am of this social, of this religious club, or this social club, or you know, I was the favorite. We were the Shia, or we were the Jews, or we were whatever we were. Okay, you take that label and use your own analogy. No matter what you were in that label, means nothing. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify us and to help us be amongst those who do the good deeds and increase in the good deeds and purify from arrogance and the wrong and the ideology of the better, the ideology of the exclusive club. We ask Him to purify us from that and help us do the good deeds, that we will meet Him happily when we meet Him, and meet Him with the good deeds when we meet Him. We ask Him to make us amongst those who listen to what's said and follow what's best. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.